Blog Talk Radio. Back to Miss Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston has four new Madame Tussauds wax figures that was just revealed at Washington, D.C., L.A., Vegas, and New York. The statues are her 1991 Super Bowl national anthem outfit in which she did in D.C., I Want to Dance with Somebody video, her video costume for I Look to You, and her infamous The Bodyguard outfit. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want to let you know that these outfits are absolutely phenomenal. These statues are absolutely phenomenal. The person who does the figurines, he shoots on the money because these look absolutely like her. And, you know, again, RIP for Whitney. We all miss Whitney, and we wish, you know, her family the best. So for all of you that tuned in to the Super Bowl last week, I will be the first to admit that I did not watch the Super Bowl last week. I tuned in to bits and pieces, but I did not tune in to the halftime show. I don't even know what I was doing during the halftime show. But any of you, you already know I'm not a major fan, and I just chose not to watch. But apparently, the lights went out during the show, and a lot of people were blaming Beyonce because they were saying that her performance had too much wattage and all this, that, and the third, and, you know, yeah. So basically, the lights went out, and somebody asked Whitney, Beyonce on the TV show Extra, you know, what did she think when the lights went out? And she commented and said, Lord, it's going to be a fire. A lot of people made those types of comments. I did not watch the segment, so I have no idea what happened. But now we're going to get into some beef dealing with the whole issue surrounding Keisha Cole and Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child. Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child, well, Destiny's Child had a reunion show during the Super Bowl last week. Michelle did release a comment prior to the reunion because someone had leaked out the information that they were not going to come back and do a reunion during the Super Bowl performance. But lo and behold, they did. And Miss Keisha Cole did not have a nice comment to say, and she was under fire. Keisha Cole said, in a nutshell, I'm not going to repeat because we are on a radio show, but in a nutshell, that Kelly was great, Michelle is whack, and she's always been whack as F. Now, I'm the type of person that believes that when you comment on somebody, be ready to get all of the backlash in the world. And Keisha did. She got really a lot of backlash. There were some people who agreed with her, but agreed that what she said was classless and not classy. Just because you're from the hood or you from an urban area, so it doesn't mean that you just got to be classless. And her comment was very classless. And there were a lot of people who commented and said negative things, such as that, you know, her career is over. She committed career suicide by, you know, knocking a former member of Destiny's Child. Anybody who's in Beyonce's camp, you just need to just fall back, period. Whether you like them or not, agree with them or not, fall back. However, on a brighter note, Miss Kelly Rowland, boo, you doing your thing, because I'm loving all of these songs, Representing by Ludacris and Ice and all this other stuff. You're doing your thing. Just keep doing your thing. We just don't keep it at that. So, on a sad note, Rick Ross has been under a lot of fire, canceling tour dates, album signings, concerts, everything. He's been under fire, and Uncle Luke, former rapper of the 90s, you know, Shake That Donkey, do brand, all those songs of the 90s that we used to love. He came back and he wrote a letter to Rick Ross, and he averaged advising him to stop and calm the gangsta-ish. So I'm going to read this letter to you, and I'm going to paraphrase some things because some of the words are not inappropriate. So he said, and this is what I like about this letter. Let me side note, backtrack. When you write a letter to someone, you are politically correct, meaning that your grammar is correct, you know how to pronunciate, you know how to spell words, and you can sound like you almost graduated from college, maybe high school. I like that. So we're going to get into this letter. Dear Rick Ross, as someone who survived several rat beats, I'm going to give you some advice. You need to seriously address this threat and attempt on your life. You have worked hard to become a big name in hip-hop. You've paid your dues, and you've grown lyrically since the release of your debut album, Port of Miami, in 2006. You've arrived, buddy. But all the gangsta-ish is jeopardizing your career. No club or arena is going to risk people getting shot. You can forget about doing any tours or CD signings. And if you can't make money, watch how fast Warner Brothers Records turns on you. I know from experience how venues in the music industry would like to blackball you. You have the gangster disciples breathing down your neck because you name-dropped Larry Hoover, the gang's founder, in your music. Unlike the record and book publishing industry, these bad dudes don't understand the concept of public domain. They see you getting rich forever by rapping about their leader, and they don't like it. That's why you're on YouTube. They're on YouTube talking about how you need to go see them and cut a check. It's a shame you can't enjoy life without spending part of your earnings on heavy security or risking your freedom by purchasing an arsenal. Remember what landed T.I. and Lil Wayne in prison. You don't want that to happen to you. However, those are the consequences of rapping about something you're not. Hip-hop is a rich industry of college guys who never committed a crime, rapping about moving kilos of cocaine and taking out snitches. Every gangster rapper takes a role on the Real Hood Legend to build up street cred. I don't want you to fall into that trap of believing you're a gangster. Trust me, you don't want to go out like Biggie or Pac. It's time that you squash these feet. Now, I think that his letter was politically correct. I think it was a nice little letter. I think that he addressed the main. I think he had a beginning, a middle, and an end. He had what every story needs and every letter needs, and he addressed the issue. Now, a couple of months ago, I did report that Rick Ross' concert in Charlotte was canceled because the Gangsta Disciples were planning to be at that concert, and it was not going to be pretty. It was going to be a lot of bloodshed. And apparently, because this group of people are so large, they're in many different cities, they're willing to travel. All they're saying is, because you dropped our leader's name, cut us a check. I personally think that before you start dropping names and before you start saying that you are a gangster and before you start rapping about stuff that you really don't know about, you need to do your research. Because just because you're a rapper, you earn millions of dollars does not mean somebody will not come and bust a cap. And just because Rick Ross is on the heavy side does not mean that cap won't kill. Let's put it like that. So hopefully he takes solace and he, you know, he understands what he's getting himself into and he calms it down so that we don't have to hear breaking news, you know, actor, rapper. You know how the story goes. So a couple of weeks ago, I reported that Love & Hip Hop star Moon Beasts, who was also the father of Yandy's baby, was charged with statutory rape. Well, Moon Beasts was found not guilty. So congratulations goes out to him. Now hopefully him and his baby mother can get it together. Yandy released a tweet. No matter how much they tried to rip your pride, defame your name, degrade you, you kept your faith in God and told me to keep my head up. So I did. Not guilty. I say it again, not guilty. So she stands by her man, regardless of whatever charges are brought against him. She is down for her man at all costs. Now, speaking of somebody else who is down for their man, Miss Rihanna. Apparently, Chris Brown went to court this weekend. Rihanna stood by his side. Chris Brown has been charged with, assault charges against Rihanna a couple of years ago. And he has been ordered by the judge that they have to, you know, remain apart. Apparently, they just don't agree with staying apart. They enjoy breaking the law. And, you know, I kind of admire people like that. I kind of admire people who think that they're just above the law, because then when the law comes down on you and then you're behind bars, I mean, I don't know. It's the same kind of thing. Crazy, but, you know, it's up to her. Now, the news that I'm about to report right now is kind of like, it's kind of made me angry, because if you're a big one, if you're a big TLC fan like me, I was not too proud to be, you know, I put circles around my eyes because I didn't know what they really was. I didn't know that they were kind of when TLC came out, but we're not going to tell my age, so we're not going to go that deep. However, there's a new biopic coming out that is going to tell the story of the infamous girl group TLC. And they've casted this one chick, right? And I don't mean to be rude about it, but, yeah, I'm kind of like, why would you do this? Like, I feel really insulted. Like, I feel like Left Eye turning over her grave trying to get up out the box. You know, if she could, I think she really would. However, starting in this biopic, they have said that Lil Mama is going to be playing her. So, like, I think she had that song, see, I'm going to listen to her. I think it's lip gloss. My lip gloss is popping. Some, you know, mess. And she also was one of the judges on the dance show on MTV. This is how much I don't know about this shit. Like, so, basically, she's going to be playing Left Eye, and there's an uproar over this because there's so many people who are like, really? What? Why? Like, I don't know how she got the part. I don't know who gave it to her. I'm really thinking that it's just because she's little and she's kind of like, her skin complexion, but yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm not really feeling it in a nutshell. Let's just say that. I think that they should do it over again. I think that there should be another vote. I think the fans should vote for who. I can't think of anybody who can play Left Eye, but I would assume, but after seeing pictures of her sister, and they favor a whole lot, I think that her sister might be a great avenue to go down. I think that they should have tried that avenue, but I'm just not feeling this chick. They could have got anybody. Like, you know, they could have called anybody to play this role. Heck, they could have called Kerry Washington to play this role. But, you know, for whatever reason, they chose her. So hopefully she can get out there and do her thing, because the fans will clown her if she does not get up there and show out. I'm just going to be the first one to say I will be tweeting about this, you know, picture. I'm assuming that the picture is not going to be, like, on a big screen. I mean, probably, like, a MTV movie or a TV One movie. Not to, you know, take down their credits. I'm just, it just doesn't, not at all. Okay, so let's get into my reality show rant for the last couple of minutes of the show before we get into TRL. Yeah, so if you guys have been watching the reality shows like me, then you can kind of much understand how I'm just not, like, the Love & Hip Hop New York, I'm trying to get into it. I'm not really feeling Joe Budden like I would like to. Like, he's not Rick. You know, he's not Jimmy. He's not anybody who, to me, has that much credibility. But, I mean, I guess he's doing what he's supposed to do. I guess he is, you know, giving it all he got. But I just don't like that how all of a sudden when the show is airing, all of a sudden he now has a drug problem that has just came up and he's been sober for 14 years. Like, what? Like, that doesn't even begin to make sense to me. And the only chick I really, really, really like on the show has to be Tahiri, because girlfriend holds her own. She don't need nobody to hold it down for her. She holds her own. And I really, really like that. I'm not a fan of Rocky. I think Rocky needs to chill out. I think Jen the Pan should have really checked her harder than what she did. Olivia, I need you to really stand up and hold your own again, because you've been on the show for a minute. We've seen your career go up and down on the show. And I really need you to hold your own against Erica Mena. I mean, I'm just, yeah. I'm not going to talk about Yandy because I'm not really a major fan of Yandy. But, you know, hey, Yandy. Okay. So let's get into my favorite one, which is Love & Hip Hop. Not Love. See, here I go again. My favorite TV show is Real Housewives of Atlanta. So I had the opportunity of catching up on my favorite show yesterday because I've been missing it for the past couple of weeks. And gotta say, I still don't like Kenyon. Gotta say, I really wish Phaedra would decorate her right eye. Gotta say that I love Candy, and I love the way Candy is kind of like taking charge. I'm loving Nene. Nene is just fierce right now. It's just, I mean, what can you say about her? She making money. She's rich. Can't be mad at that. I feel sorry for the other two Atlanta housewives, former Atlanta housewives, Sheree. She has a lot to say about the new girls on the season. However, you're not on the show, so I don't think you can do much to kind of really commentate on everything that's going on. So, boo to you, boo. I have not gotten to Bad Girls Club Atlanta. Just not really feeling it right now. But the new show that I have gotten to is Big Rich Atlanta. Now, that show right there, that's a show. If you haven't watched it, my favorite person on the show happens to be Khadijah. And the reason that I like Miss Khadijah is not only is her father one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, who I will be seeing on Thursday, but I love her attitude. I love her no-nonsense. Like, if you talk about me, if you talk about people behind me, around me, on the side of me, please stand up for what you say. And I really like that because I'm that type of person. You're not going to talk about somebody who's in front of me or who's my friend or who's not my friend. But then when I bring you to the forefront, you can't stand up for it. So I really like her no-nonsense attitude. So, yeah, I'm going to try to find a way to get Khadijah on the show because I really like her. I like how she stands up for herself. And her father is not other than Q Parker from 112. And I will be going to see 112 this Thursday in Atlantic City for the Valentine's Day concert at the House of Blues where I first met them in June. So, again, like I said, mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is Black History Month, and it's always an honor, a privilege to pay homage to those people who came before you. And my first person is none other than Miss Whitney Houston. I feel like it's fitting to pay homage to her because I've listened to her music all my life. I grew up with Whitney. I love Whitney. Whitney Houston has just been an inspiration for a lot of people. And again, her passing was like you lost a cousin. That's how deep it was. I think I took off work when they had the funeral. I don't think I was working today. I think I was, that's how bad it was. I took off work. I think when I found out, I was at work when I found out, and then I took off work the day of the funeral so I could watch it play by play, action by action. And I have to say that probably that is one of the best funerals I've ever seen in my life. Just the way that people came and they paid homage to her and her character, despite all of the rumors, despite everything that you've heard, which brings me up to another point. So, a couple of weeks ago, on the 28th of January, her brother, Michael Houston, released some very interesting information. After all these years of us blaming Bobby, and I'm going to say us because everybody blamed Bobby. Everybody was blaming Bobby. Now, after all the years of blaming Bobby Brown for Whitney's drug problem, her brother released the information that he was the first one who introduced her to drugs, which meant that before she met Bobby Brown, she already had a drug problem. Now, whether Bobby increased the drug problem or participated in the drug problem, no one knows, but Bobby Brown was not the one to get her on drugs. It was her brother, Michael Houston. And I think that he came out so late because I believe that a lot of Bobby's demons is that I told you I didn't do it, but you didn't believe I didn't do it, but I kept trying to tell you I didn't do it. And I think that that might have actually increased his drugs, because people just constantly blame him for something that he did not do. It's like a child. You keep telling me I do something, then I really didn't do it. I didn't start. I didn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, they're participating and they're helping. They're becoming an enabler. And that just, you know, hinders everything that, you know, is ultimately going on. So prayers goes out to Bobby Brown. Hopefully he can find some peace and some healing in this situation with the new revelations and news that her brother dropped on us. So now for the Black History person again, Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston was born on August 9th, 1963 in Newark, New Jersey. Her mother is none other than gospel great Miss Sissy Houston, and her the only daughter is Miss Bobby Christina. Whitney Houston has been a singer. She's been an actress. She acted in one of my favorite movies, Waiting to Exhale. And Waiting to Exhale actually was going to start recording last year, in the summer, but they were unable to, of course, film. And the actresses that were a part of the movie, Angela Bassett, Loretta Devine, and Layla Rashad, refused to film the movie because their dear Whitney was not going to be a part of it, and which I think is completely admirable on their part because they could have said, cut us a check and let's do it. But they didn't. Whitney Houston also starring the bodyguard, the preacher's wife. She has top 10 list of best-selling albums of all time, so she is just a record breaker. And Whitney Houston, ultimately, you know, she succumbed last year, February 11, 2012, and was found dead at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. The night prior to her passing, she was at the pre-Grammy party hosted by Kelly Price, in which she got up and she sang happy birthday. They recorded it, and it was such a sad thing, but, you know, you just have to love her. Like, yeah, like I don't care what she died from. I don't care who did it. I don't care speculations. I don't care about none of that. At the end of the day, she was a human, and she died, and she had struggles, and we all have struggles in life. You might not want to admit your struggles, but everybody has a struggle in life, whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whatever your struggle is in life, you know, it's always sad when people tear down your character and they don't even look at you as a human anymore. And I'm guilty of that with Whitney because I used to go around saying her infamous quote, crack is whack. And, you know, crack is whack. So let's just keep that up there. Crack is definitely whack. But, you know, we honor Whitney and all of her glory and, again, praying heavily for her family. The Oprah Show aired on the 28th, and you can actually catch it on demand to actually see the full episode. Her mother did release a book last year, and her book goes into detail even about her sexuality. It goes into detail about, you know, how her mother felt about her drug use, how her mother felt about when she passed away. And that has to be a very hard book for her to write. She addressed several demons that Whitney had, and her mother was actually shocked when Michael revealed it. According to Oprah, that was the first time that she had even heard that her brother had anything to do with her drug problem. So, I mean, I couldn't even imagine. Even watching that, it was just heart-dropping. Just look at her mother. So their mother is still grieving after a year. And any parent would grieve over the death of their child. And, you know, that was her only daughter. And, again, first goes out to her. And Whitney Houston is my Black History person for today on Jesus Got Today. Be sure to tune in next Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m. as we'll have a guest on the show, two guests on the show we're working on, Miss London Bridges, who is a platinum singer and songwriter, as well as Mr. Kid Flash, who is a rapper and also the son of R&B superstar Ja'Yuan. Next up, it's The Locker Room with myself and Altitude.
5-4 Win for the win! Got it!
You are now in tune to The Locker Room with DJ and Altitude.
Welcome to the game.
Hey,
Jay.
Co-host, are you there?
I am here. What's going on?
Hey, co-host. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm awesome.
That's good. That's good to know. Everybody, welcome. Another exciting episode of The Locker Room with Out to Do and Diva J is now underway. So, Without any further ado, we're going to jump right in. Super Bowl 2013, a.k.a. the Har Bowl, a.k.a. the Har Brother Bowl, a.k.a. the Brother Bowl, was crazy. Did you tune in, Diva J?
Mm-mm.
You did not tune in. Well, let me give you the rundown. Baltimore, your favorite team to hate, won by 3 points in the end. Great game. Baltimore in the first half was just running away with it, 23-6, I believe the score was at one point. Then you had the halftime show. Then we had the third quarter, and the lights went out. I don't know if somebody from San Francisco paid somebody at the Superdome to cut the lights out or whatever, but the lights went out, and San Francisco was a completely different team after that. It seemed like they were able to regroup, get themselves together, come back stronger and better, and really make a game of it. There was a controversial call in the end zone at the end of the game that went Baltimore's way. Well, it was a controversial no call. The call actually was never made, but, you know, San Francisco fans and players wanted a holding call on the Ravens. They didn't get it, which I think was the right call. Not necessarily that the right call was it was no holding, but the right call is to let the players decide the game and not the referees. So I agree with that. Now, Ms. Diva J, do you have anything to say about the Super Bowl outcome or the game itself?
I hate the Ravens. And I hate the Ravens. I mean, anybody who's listening who definitely knows my stance on how I feel about the Ravens should not be at all surprised about my comments. Go Bengals.
Okay. Go Bengals. That being said, you have to look at it from like a historic point of view or whatever. Ray Lewis, you know, of course, announced his retirement at the beginning of these playoffs. And some would say inspire his team to play at a higher level, being that they, you know, made their way through the AFC playoffs, beating, by the way, Peyton Manning's Broncos and Tom Brady's Patriots along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally coming up with the ultimate prize, and that's the Super Bowl, and him being able to walk off as champion, a la Michael Jordan in 98 with the shot, although we all know Michael came back and kind of tarnished that whole shot, you know,
mm-hmm.
last second thing that we all knew him for. I mean, although we knew him for other things, but, you know, we all remembered the shot. And by the way, hold on to that thought. Hold on to the Michael Jordan thought, people and listeners of the locker room, because we're going to get back on Michael Jordan. But, yeah, so Ray Lewis is able to walk off into the sunset a champion. You have no feelings for that.
I actually think that it was just a scare tactic. I really think he's coming back. All of a sudden now there are rumors that talking about he's going to be the coach next year or one of the coaches joining the coaching staff. Like I said, I think that it was a tactic. I think that Ray is like Brett Favre.
Really?
Yeah, I think he'll be like Brett Favre. I don't think he's ever going anywhere for real.
Wow. I think that Ray's a little different from Brett Favre in the sense that he understands, you know, the history that was made and the opportunity to walk out on top. Now, Brett
mm-hmm.
Favre, when he decided he was going to retire, wasn't coming off a Super Bowl win. You know what I mean? So he still had that desire to win it before he left. Now, although he won it earlier in his career, we're obviously talking about two different points. He won that. You know, he won his Super Bowl a lot earlier in his career. Played, you know, at least 10 seasons after that. So wanted the opportunity to win it again, so that he could walk off like Ray Lewis walked off as a champion. And I think that if, you know, Brett had won one, that maybe he would have you know, left and not come back as many times as he did. But Ray, on the other hand, has that opportunity to leave on top. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm just not a fan.
You said what?
I mean, he's a good player. They played good. They really did. They played really well last week. During the Super Bowl yesterday, last week, I was actually shopping, and I was at Anarondo Mills, and
terrible.
I wasn't really paying attention to the fact that, oh, yeah, I'm close to Baltimore. I wasn't even thinking about it until I was in FYE buying CDs, and all of a sudden, it was radio.
Terrible.
And I was just, and I'm like, what? And then I went over to BW3s, and it was like, oh, yeah, it's the Super Bowl.
That's terrible.
I mean, yeah, it really was. I was not enthused. Like, and a lot of people are like, well, at least they won for our division. I don't care if they won for my division. It wasn't my thing. I'm diehard.
Wow.
I'm straight diehard. You're diehard. You should be diehard. If you're not diehard, you're not a
Raiders
fan.
No, listen, I'm a diehard Raiders fan. I love the Raiders. In fact, no other team can replace the Raiders for me. At the same time, I'm a sports fan. I love sports. And I think that my love for sports usurps my love for one particular team. And, you know, I would be doing a disservice to myself and the listeners of TLR if I didn't watch the Super Bowl and have something to talk about. Obviously, we have a different view of this.
We do. I love sports. I love football. I love the Bengals. There's no other team. Like, no one else in the NFL exists in life. Especially the Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Cleveland Browns.
crazy stuff.
No one. But it's okay, though. I am sad because football season is over. I'm very sad about that. I am not excited. Because to me, everything else is, like, besides basketball, is absolutely boring. Like, I love the contact of football. That's about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But on to brighter news, I do love the NBA.
That's true. And the NBA is in full swing.
It is. And I'm extremely happy about the NBA. However, let me put my hat back on. I am not a fan of Mr. Kobe Bryant and will comment for his money in. Now, I love Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard don't know it yet, but we are Miss B. We don't know it yet, though. Okay? But I do not like the comments about him. However, let me put my real sports hat back on. I think that what Kobe Bryant said should have juiced Dwight Howard up. However, I wholeheartedly feel in my heart of my heart that Dwight Howard will not be in a Laker jersey next year, which is perfectly fine with me because, in my opinion, everybody can say that you're not great unless you play in a Laker squad. That's great. That's all well and good. However, Michael Jordan is great, but he never wore a Laker jersey. You don't have to be a Laker to be great. You never step on a team that already has star players because you're always going to be under scrutiny. Dwight Howard and Steve Nash have been under scrutiny since they got on the Lakers squad. And earlier this week, Kobe Bryant released a statement and said that we don't have time for Howard's shoulders to heal. We need some urgency. And he also went on to say that Dwight worries too much about what people think. I told him, you can't worry about that. It's holding you back. He says, okay, but it's always hovering around him. Now, Dwight Howard has been labeled the crybaby of the NBA. However, he did release a statement of his own just saying that, you know, when it's all said and done, I don't want people to think that I am a crybaby. And this is also in reference to him leaving Orlando and, you know, with the firing of the coach last year. A lot of people speculated that he had a lot to do with it, that basically, you know, he got the coach fired and then he ended up deserting the team. I do feel that Dwight should have stayed on the team. I feel that with the coach gone, that would have helped him. But at the end of the day, I mean, he left and he's in purple and gold. But he will not be in purple and gold before it's all said and done. And they will not win a championship. That's
right. I agree with both of those points. I agree that he will not be a Laker at the end of the season. And I agree that they won't win a championship. In fact, I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs. But the point that, you know, you have to be a Laker to be great is freaking absurd, as you pointed out. But here's the thing with Dwight. I kind of understand, and I'm on record as not being a big Kobe fan. In fact, I do not like Kobe Bryant. I won't go as far as to say that he's not one of the greatest players ever. He's clearly that. But moving on, I understand what Kobe's saying a little bit, because there's a difference between playing hurt and playing injured, if you know what I mean. You get what I'm saying there?
Yeah, I understand.
All right, so the thing is, I believe that Dwight Howard is hurt, all right? Because the doctors haven't come out and said, oh, you have a torn whatever, or, oh, you have a dislocated whatever. It's just something that hurts him. Now, that being said, you can't judge anyone's, like, pain threshold or anything like that, and I'm not suggesting that we do that. However, this is what you get paid for. You get paid a heck of a lot of money, in fact, to do this. You should be able to play through pain, because I'm not sure that there's one starting star player on any team in the NBA that probably doesn't have some nagging thing that hurts them. Now, if you're injured, that's something totally different, because you're injured and you can only cause more damage or whatever. You probably shouldn't be playing. Totally different. But if you look at it from Kobe's perspective, he's 34, clearly at the end of his playing days. In fact, he's come out and said that this year and next year will probably be his last years playing basketball. He is clearly in pursuit of Michael Jordan's 6 NBA championships, as Kobe has 5 right now. And you know, we know his thinking when it comes to Michael Jordan and himself, as history would tell it. I believe that Kobe thinks that Dwight is just hurt and should play and suck it up, because the ultimate goal for a Laker right now is the championship. It's championship or bust, as it is every year that Kobe's been on the team. They just feel like they can win it every year. Not necessarily that I believe they can. I definitely don't. As currently constituted, they are not as good as OKC. They are not as good as the Clippers. They're probably not as good as San Antonio. Heck, they may not be as good as any of the 8 teams in front of them right now. But, you know, I understand Kobe a little bit. And Dwight Howard is a big guy, and playing with a hurt shoulder shouldn't be an issue. Suck it up.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. The whole NBA season has been shook up this whole season. When you look at standings in general, got to give props to the New York Knicks, because they're, like, really, really, really doing their thing. Even Brooklyn, with the new revamping of their squad and with the new location and everything, they're pretty much, you know, doing their thing. As well as Indiana. Like Indiana is, like, really a shock for me right now. So there's number one in the Central Division, and right behind them comes Chicago. So
with no
Derrick
Rose, by the way.
Right. So that's why I'm saying, I really think that if Dwight Howard plans to have a long career, he has 2 major injuries. He just got off of surgery with his back in the summer, and now he has shoulder injury. He really needs to take a note or two from D-Rose and just maybe sit out completely for a year until you're completely healed up, because it's not like you're washed up. It's not like any team wouldn't die to have you.
Right.
It's not saying that. You know, and I think that's one of the things that he thinks. I think he thinks that, okay, well, if I sit out, they're going to, you know, we're going to call you a crybaby if you sit out there and all you do is play, keep re-injuring yourself. That's foolish. I don't think that he thinks about stuff like that. If you're paying attention to the comments that people are saying about you, how about you pay attention to yourself for a little bit and say, okay, look, my shoulder is really injured. It's not going to heal if all I'm doing is keep hurting it. And, you know, you already have back problems, which could really just end your career, period, if you injure your back. And, you know, he's super tall. He's like 7'7", I think. I think he's either 6'11 or 7'8".
Yeah, it's like 6'11".
Yeah, like, shoot, if your back is out, you're done. And then you have nothing else to fall back on. Because you haven't been in the industry that long to, you know, become a commentator or something like that, because the people view you only as a crybaby, and, I mean, that says a lot about what people really think about you.
That's true. Look, I think it's time to tackle this topic that I've been telling everybody we're going to talk about.
What?
It was recently brought up that Kobe Bryant, at the age of 34, which he is right now, is not the same leader as Michael Jordan was at the same age for the Chicago Bulls. A lot of people seem to think that if you put Michael Jordan on today's Lakers team when he was 34, that this is clearly a playoff team. I want to get your thoughts as well as anybody else's thoughts who's listening to the show on whether or not they believe that is true. Diva J.
I think that Kobe Bryant is nowhere near the type of leader that Michael Jordan was. When you think of Scottie Pippen and you think of their dynamic, when you think of his leadership, when you think of the way he plays the game, when you think of him in general just as a player, and then you think of Kobe Bryant, I think of scandal when I think of Kobe Bryant. I think of, I mean, and that's just being honest, I think of scandal. I don't think of, oh my God, he's just the great. No, I think of scandal. Like, play the damn game, excuse my language, and stay out of unnecessary limelight. Stop bringing attention to your personal life. Stop. You know what I'm saying? Even when Michael's father died, he played the game. You know, that was fueled in his fire. I haven't looked it up, but I can't remember hearing a lot of negative commentary between him and Scottie Pippen, or let's put it like this, him or anyone on his team. This stuff going on between him and Dwight should have never came to light. Never. Even his issues when it came to him and Shaq.
Right.
Should have never came to light. They should have stayed in the team. Like, Kobe, he hasn't learned that yet. He hasn't learned that what goes on in this house stays in this house. He hasn't mastered that yet because it's too much negativity that surrounds him. The changing of his number, him cheating on that girl. They knowing what they were cheating at. Him cheating in a room with girls in London. So it's like, dang, do it. Like, you haven't caught it yet? You haven't gotten it yet?
We're going to have to hold it. We have a caller. Caller, state your name. Where you calling from?
This is Rick Peters. I'm from Dayton, Ohio.
Rick Peters from Dayton?
Yes. I'm here to talk about the Kobe and Michael Jordan situation here.
All right.
Yes, I think it's a heads or tails. It really don't make a difference. I think one came straight out of high school. The other one had 2 years of college.
True.
And then a lot of people forget that Mike had about 3-4 7-foot centers when he was winning those things, you know what I'm saying? And then Kobe had like one, which was Shaq. And you can't call Gasol a center. He's not a center. but one thing I like about Kobe, that I don't like about Mike. Kobe will give you your props if you're good. Mike don't give people props, you know. He really think all that in the bag of chips, you know. Kobe will give you props if you play good, but Mike don't. You know.
True.
I think I heard somebody say something about cheating. Let's not point the finger at one, because
definitely not.
When you stand in the limelight like that, it happens. Because one definitely left a family for, you know, another one. And then both of them could do a little bit more in the community, because I think it took Mike about 20 years before he decided to build a school in his hometown. That's pitiful, man. You know what I'm saying? And then you run around here with ridiculous prices on gym shoes, and know who's buying your shoes is mostly who? Poor black kids. So.
Well, I mean, Kobe guilty of that too. His shoes ain't cheaper.
Well, I'm gonna tell you this right here. For both of them in that category, both of them can jump in the lake for mine. You know what I'm saying? Because the thing is, you know, it's about putting back into the community. You know what I'm saying? Put something back into it. That goes for anybody that come out of my city, you know, my city, my state, and don't give back. I have nothing for you. I have no love for you, you know. We got a couple of people here that don't make that much, and they're donating a lot to the city of Dayton.
Right.
And we had some that won a couple of rings, you know, like Mr. Harper that was with Mike. And this guy haven't put 50 cent back in the city of Dayton. But both of those guys are great ball players, man. So, you know, for mine, it really don't make a difference.
Okay.
Kick attack,
okay.
But,
real quick, because this is the age of the internet, and we have things like stats at our disposal. All right? Right now,
right.
As of Friday, Kobe Bryant has taken 119 more shots than anybody in the NBA. That is equaled up to Kobe Bryant being the second leading scorer in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another something interesting. Do you believe that Michael Jordan at 34, and just so the people know that are listening, at the age of 34, Michael was in the middle of winning his second ring in the second three-peat with the Chicago Bulls. And right now Kobe's 34, and of course, if the playoffs started today, his team is not in the playoffs. But that's neither here nor there. Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant as leaders of men on their team, do you think that there's a difference there?
Yeah, there's a difference. There's a big time difference. There's a big time difference because, you know, you go back to when Mike played, all the guys were really dedicated. Kobe's up there with a bunch, you know, you dealing with a different breed of kids coming out, or young men coming out. They don't take the game like Mike and them took it when they came in. You know,
right.
When they came in, you got a guy that said, hey, I'm going to be a stopper. That's what he planned on doing, stopping. That one stop a rebound. You look at the Lakers, and you got one guy that's trying to rebound, that's Artest, and he's so old, you know, and too heavy. And the rest of the guys are not trying to bang, you know what I'm saying? But that's the difference right there. The difference is your surroundings, who you got.
Right.
And far as the 34, you look at the Bulls team, they had better players all the way around, man.
I don't know.
And a better coach.
The coach is unquestionably better. I'll give you that.
Yeah, okay.
Phil Jackson is no doubt better than D'Antoni. However, Michael Jordan on ring number two in the second three-peat had Luke Longley on his team as a starting center. He had Ron Harper, a past his prime Ron Harper, but still Ron Harper.
Right.
Scottie Pippen, who was visibly showing age, and my guy with the colorful hair.
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. Number there you go. Rock. Thank you, Deepa J. All right, Kobe Bryant has a Hall of Famer in the making in Steve Nash. Steve Nash, going to the Hall. Steve Nash.
Who can't check you? He's past his prime.
That's probably true.
Okay.
You're right. All right.
So Ron Harper was killed. So Ron Harper will kill him. Okay, go with the next guy.
All right.
Go with the next
Dwight guy. Howard is better than everybody I just named on that Bulls team outside of Michael Jordan.
Dwight who?
Dwight Howard.
Dwight no hitter, no hitter free throw, no moves. Dwight Howard. Luke Longley will foul him so much he would get